In this video, we are going to discuss five things from the extraordinary form of the Mass that can, and I really strongly believe should, be done in the ordinary form. I am not going to get into the history or the theology of the two forms. I am not going to discuss language or sacred music. I think these things are all very important, but I would like to focus on things that are based on principles that no Catholic can deny. For example, the real presence. Jesus is really, truly, substantially present. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. Whole and entire in each of the species and in each part of each species when separated. I want to focus on the Mass is a sacrifice. These are all principles, realities, and truths that we cannot deny. The changes that I am going to suggest might require you to be prudent, to be prayerful, to be discerning, and it might even require you to catechize. The first one is the easiest to implement. In the extraordinary form of the Mass, when Holy Communion is being distributed, there's an altar server that holds a communion paten underneath the chin of the communicant. This is used to catch any particles, or maybe even if the sacred host might fall, hopefully it can be caught. The reason I say that this is the easiest to implement is because semi-recently, there was a Vatican document issued called Redemptionis Sacramentum. In the 93rd paragraph of that instruction, it says, "The communion plate for the communion of the faithful should be retained so as to avoid the danger of the sacred host or some fragment of it falling." The Church itself specifically requests that this be done. It does a couple of things. Yes, it does catch the host if it would fall or if some fragment were to fall. It also highlights the reality. This is not just some ordinary bread that we are receiving. That even in a fragment, Jesus Christ is whole and entire, completely present. There's absolutely no excuse why this should not be maintained. Number two. In the extraordinary form of the Mass, Holy Communion is received kneeling down, usually at an altar rail. This is the most reverent way to receive Holy Communion, and it's a universally accepted posture for receiving Communion. You might say, how could I possibly implement this? We have no altar rail in our church. It's very simple. Put out a kneeler. Have the kneeler put out right in front as you're distributing Holy Communion. Explain to the people that we have this kneeler here because there are some people who may wish to kneel, and now they have full freedom to do so. Once that kneeler is placed out, I promise you people will begin to use it. And before you know it, the majority of your parishioners are going to be kneeling for Holy Communion. And then I'm sure you'll easily get the funds to build an altar rail. This third practice really emphasizes the Mass as a sacrifice. In every extraordinary form of the Mass is celebrated ad orientem, facing liturgical east. The priest and the people facing the same way together, going towards the Lord together. Especially during the consecration, the face of the priest looking back in your direction can be extremely distracting when you're trying to focus on the Eucharist. Oftentimes, people will come to Mass and they will think that the Mass is about the communication between the priest and the people, and they'll fail to realize that it's the priest who should be directing us towards Jesus in the Eucharist. When the priest is facing east and he's holding up the Eucharist and the crucifix is right there, it's very easy to see that this Mass is the one sacrifice. And the priest with us is facing Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, who we're going to receive in Holy Communion. I have an extraordinary, pun intended, video on Ad Orientem, and I will put it in the description below. Number four, in the extraordinary form of the Mass, Holy Communion is received on the tongue and only under one species. When we receive Holy Communion, we receive grace according to the disposition of the person who's receiving Holy Communion. So if I were to treat the Eucharist as I would any other ordinary food, I am limiting the amount of grace that I could possibly receive. By receiving Holy Communion on my tongue, I am saying this is not like ordinary food. The Lord Himself is feeding me with His very body, blood, soul, and divinity. Also, by receiving Holy Communion on the tongue, it minimizes the chance for particles dropping to the floor or getting onto my hands and thus desecrating the Eucharist in that way. By receiving Holy Communion on the tongue, I'm saying with my body that this is sacred, this is special. Remember those doctrines that I said that this video was going to be based upon? That Jesus is whole and entire under each species? That means in the sacred host, we have Jesus Christ whole and entire. In the precious blood, I have Jesus Christ whole and entire. Too often, by reception under both species, people have come to think that I am receiving some holy thing. I am receiving only flesh. I am drinking only blood. But when you receive even what we just referred to as the body of Christ, because this is the risen Lord, we are receiving Him body, blood, soul, and divinity, whole and entire. It is not some thing that I am receiving. It is a person, and that person is God Himself. Also, by receiving the precious blood, lay people are handing the chalice to each other, back and forth, back and forth. And there's so many opportunities, unnecessary risks for spilling the precious blood, for spilling Jesus Christ on the floor, on our clothes, down our face. And for what? We gain no extra grace by receiving under both species. For somebody to say that the priest is withholding from me the precious blood, or he's keeping something from me, means that you don't really believe in what you are receiving. If I receive Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, in the form of what looks to my eyes as bread, I've received the whole Christ. If I receive one drop alone from the chalice, I am receiving Jesus Christ, whole and entire. So to say that something is being kept from you, it means you do not understand who it is that you're receiving. With the introduction of receiving Holy Communion in the hand, standing under both species, we have seen a dramatic decline in faith in the real presence. When we go back to more reverent forms of reception of Holy Communion, I am not only saying with my lips that Jesus is here, I am showing with my posture, with my actions, that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, true God and true man, is present here and I am receiving Him into my body. This last one doesn't have to do with the real presence, but it has to do with the sacred priesthood, the male priesthood. And that is, at the extraordinary form of the Mass, there are only male altar servers. Having an all-boy altar server program is critical for encouraging vocations to the priesthood. The priesthood is service in and around the altar. Young boys need to be around a good priest, a holy man, in the presence of these young, impressionable men, will make a profound impact in their discernment process. To implement an all-boy altar server team, it can start at a single Mass, and then it can spread to others. You can make it a special club. Regardless of how you implement this, one of the greatest things that you can do at your parish for the future of the church would be to implement an all-boy altar server program. There's not going to be a renewal in the church unless there's a return to reverence for the Most Holy Eucharist. Unless we get on our knees, unless we start to treat Jesus in the Eucharist like the living God that He is, things are not going to change and they're only going to get worse. If you're a priest, I strongly encourage you to learn the extraordinary form of the Mass. It will help you to form your liturgical conscience. If you're a layperson and the church you go to is not reverent at all, and you've tried to talk to your priest, for the sake of your family, you might have to drive so that your children can be more disposed in the reception of Holy Communion. We are at a great crossroads in human history. The church can have a real renewal, but it's only going to happen if priests are willing to say yes. So I encourage you, do not be afraid to begin to implement some of these changes. Let's go ahead and conclude in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, fill our hearts with love for You. Help us to have courage. Help us to have confidence that You will take care of us in all circumstances, in all situations. Help us to have a greater love for You in the Most Holy Eucharist. O Blessed Virgin Mary, You who love Jesus above all else, You who continue to pray for us throughout our earthly lives, we beg of You to intercede for us with Your spouse, the Holy Spirit. Inspire us. Be our sweetness. Be our help in every circumstance. And most of all, help us to love Your Son, Jesus Christ, more. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all, and God love you.